piss myself. Nice. Yeah. See how it makes you feel. French horns were like a favorite instrument of mine. Like the shape, I loved it, like a snail. And then the trumpets were just sexy. Right, you just need sexy trumpets. So, hello everyone, and welcome to the Happy Apple Podcast. This is going to be kind of a double episode that we're going to be doing. It's going to be a Happy Apple Podcast. It's also going to be a Happy Apple Joe Show, which is why you have the Happy Apple Joe Show theme song introing you there a little bit. Very exciting stuff going on. I'm hanging out in San Francisco. Took the BART over. I am actually really, really excited to be in San Francisco today because I'm sitting with an individual we just met a couple minutes ago. But I feel like, in a way, we've kind of known each other for ages, even though you probably know nothing of, not as much, you don't know me as much as I probably feel like I know about you. But I'm sitting with Matt Bargan, the creator of Don't Call It Frisco, which is the YouTube web series. You can go check out now. Go ahead and just go to YouTube. Go to their YouTube channel. They got two seasons out right now. Season two just dropped a couple months ago. Right, Matt?
That's right.
And we're here to talk about all that goodness. And Matt, thanks for making the time. Thanks for having us in your space. Really happy to be here, man.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me.
How's
on
the mic
show.
Working out for you? Is that doing
it's
good?
It's working great. Yeah.
Okay,
I'm just,
perfect.
I'm just turning it so I can see you.
Awesome. The eye contact. I know. Yeah, I love looking at you. Perfect. Thanks for having us here again in the mission. Could not be more. How would you describe your space? Like it. Let's give the audience a taste of what
it's,
your space is like.
Yeah, it's tough to describe. When you walk in, it says janitor closet.
I was thrown off by that.
Yeah, we like to keep you on your toes. And then when you go through there, it opens up into kind of a wood front porch-esque speakeasy. You feel like you're in some kind of pirate land.
Yes, exactly.
And then there's an actual pirate ship, and inside of there we have BFF, Best Frequencies Forever. They're an internet radio station, mm-hmm. indie radio. And then a pawn shop. It's really a mishmash of all kinds of dreams sort of come true, different people building their dreams.
Just creating, and it's fucking mm-hmm. phenomenal. Do you get like, do you inspire just being in here? Just
yeah, certainly. It's called the Secret Alley, and it's been here for quite a while. One of the old gems of San Francisco. And there's ways that you can get involved or check us out if you just type in Secret Alley on Google.
And it's not just like this, like your unit or your space, but like it's the whole building that's like filled with like creators. And there's like you walk in, like there's some kitten stuff like going on downstairs. That's so Frisco. Or what should we say? How should we do this? Because I feel like we're going to be talking, bringing up like a bunch of like Frisco cliche and like typical Frisco, trendy shit. I'm sorry, I keep calling it Frisco, but I feel like if we're going to be saying don't call it Frisco, what should we say?
Yeah, we should restore balance to the force, right?
You got
to
call exactly.
it Frisco for every time we say don't call it Frisco.
Yeah.
I mean, you can call it whatever you want. The show title comes from an inside joke. Story with the lead actor and myself. Mm. We're not actually telling people not to call it Frisco. It's just kind of plays into the whole Bay Area drama about no one knows what the Bay Area is. Everyone's arguing over what to call it, what it is, what it stands for, how it's changing. But I call it San Francisco or the city or SF. I mean, personally.
Mm-hmm. And was the show created by you and the main character? Or was this just like an organic idea that you just had and just like kind of took off and run with it?
No, I cast him after I'd written most of the script.
So this was your idea.
He had a big influence.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. He had a big influence. But no, I cast him after creating the
show. What was the original like thought then? So what was the idea that you were like, okay, like this is a thing I can run with and build on and let's see what goes?
Well, it all started... I moved here working for Greenpeace, which the main character works for a spin on Greenpeace, Greenpeace's. And I was sent to street corners every day. I was that annoying guy who tries to get your credit card information and has like a binder, you know. And it was a good way to get to know the city. But so I was on different street corners every day. And there was one day where I was in the Mission. Back then it was a lot more dead, lawless gentrification, whatnot. But I was on a street corner, I think 16th and Valencia, and I was on break, and my supervisor pulled out a joint and started smoking. And so my mind like started to get blown. So my supervisor there, we're smoking a joint on our break. And then I hear this like jingling sound, and over his shoulder, if you can picture 16th and Valencia, I'm right there by that liquor store, a whole group of naked people, some of them in thongs and whatnot, but most of them naked on bikes and running, just kind of careened past us. He didn't even blink. Like, he didn't bat an eye. And I thought, these people are crazy or they're on drugs, you know? And then one person ran by, his older guy, and he just kind of yelled out something very eloquent and sincere about foreign oil dependency. Yes. And then my supervisor was like, oh, that's the naked march against foreign oil that happens every year. And it was then that I thought, okay, I have to create something about this town. Yeah.
And that idea, that's how it all started.
Well, that I think that was like the catalyst moment, but I didn't think it's going to be a web series. It's going to be 7 minutes. It's going to be this title. It was just, I have to do something with this city as the subject. And so for the next 5 years or so, I just kind of jotted down weird things that I would experience or see or overhear. And created the, I ended up with this book of these random experiences, Bay Area experiences. And then from that and my life created the story.
That's dope. Did that scene ever come to fruition?
No, we haven't done that scene.
Is it a goal?
Sure. I mean, it's still in the book. It's in there. Ugh. Something to pick from.
Okay. So is this your style of, cause one thing that we actually share, you went to the graduate program at the Academy of Art University. Congratulations, fellow Urban Knight. Urban Knight proud.
Yeah.
Exactly. One thing I'm currently learning is like how, you know, how to story tell and how, like the writing process. And one thing I'm learning is that I'm not very good at it. And so that's kind of like why I respect like people who like do this kind of work and who do this like but you just keep like a book of thoughts and then you're able to kind of structure stories through those. Is that your style of writing?
So that's one style of writing.
Okay. You have multiple?
Well, I learned that if you're going to write a story about, say, World War II, you're going to have to do a lot of research, right? You're going to have to become an expert on whatever it is that you're going to write for anyone to care, you know? And in this project and with this style, the research was the city and the experiences here. So my research was writing down these notes based on what, you know, stories people told me, things I experienced, even just ideas I had, like ironies or things that I'd witnessed. I would write it down in like a one-liner. So that wasn't my style of writing. It was more like that's the research I needed to do to then start writing later. Just like the ammunition to then go to work later.
And do you enjoy like the writing like how much do you enjoy like writing and the whole pre-production side?
Oh, I love the writing. I'd say the writing is probably the most fun part. Production is fun, but is also, if you don't have enough budget, it's very stressful and it's a sprint and you're getting, you know, there's a lot riding on it. There's a lot of favors. And so it is and can be incredibly stimulating and fun, but I like the pacing of the writing part of production because you can do it. However, I've had the privilege of being able to do it at my own pace on this project because I didn't have deadlines or anything like that. So that was really fun. You
did,
know?
Did you guys have a budget for this?
Yeah. I mean, we raised money.
I don't know. I'm really. Well, how long? So it started like the first idea came 5 years ago. After the first idea,
it was like 10 years ago.
So, 10 years ago.
Yeah, I moved here 10 years ago.
Yeah, 10 years ago. So actually, yeah. So you were originally from Riverside, so Riverside, California, east of LA. I've talked about that a little bit. Like, what was your upbringing? Like, where does your creative, like, you know, soul come from?
I grew up in a place that's similar to Stockton or like San Leandro. Yeah. It's kind of like a dry suburb. Not a whole lot of culture other than a mishmash of cultures. But there, it didn't really have like an identity, and at least not one that I resonated with. And it's east of LA. It's not in LA at all. It's like an hour and a half east of LA. It's a desert. And it's a lot more conservative than you would think most cities in California are. And I just didn't feel at home there at all. And I wasn't that creative there either. I mean, I did some writing and did some painting and stuff, but did not find my creative flow at all there. But then I went to San Diego and developed some really deep and fun friendships with people there and started to feel more at home and more in my, you know, comfortable in my skin. Started surfing and doing things that made me like happy. And with that, my creativity blossomed more and more and more from there.
Isn't it just amazing what happens when you add a little bit of happiness to that life? Just a little bit, a couple of happy apples. I mean,
could that be part of the theme of the show?
It absolutely could be. Hell, it could possibly be. I mean, you never know. So surfing, that was huge for you.
You know, it was big in, I didn't do a lot of sports growing up, and surfing was like my like Top Gun thing where like I feel confident and I'm doing something like, you know, athletically challenging and it feels good and so on. It gave me like more confidence and which then I think translated a little bit more into my work. Just a little bit. I mean, it was San Diego, so that was. That's what came to mind when you asked me about.
No, totally. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, beautiful fires on the beach, surfing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it's all about. So what about TV, movies? What'd you watch? What'd you listen to?
I was always into weird, like foreign films. I still am, but it's broadened. Let's see. I mean, classically, I really loved like Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, yeah. Reservoir Dogs.
I was into Wes Anderson as well. But I also liked these random late night movies I would see on TV, like Thomas Vinterberg stuff or Brazil by Terry Gilliam or Holy Mountain, which was like so absurd and surreal. I didn't even think that could be a movie.
I have no idea what any of these are. You're blowing my mind. I have to write these down, by the way.
They're really, Brazil, you've probably heard of or seen. He also did 12 Monkeys and Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Very similar. Zero Theorem. They're all like very future, dystopian, silly, kind of Monty Python mixed with, you know, The Matrix.
Yeah, totally, totally.
Sitcom-wise? You know, I watched a lot of the animated sitcoms, kind of like Simpsons and I'd say my inspirations more recently, or once I started writing screenplays, would be Broad City, Silicon Valley, Girls, High Maintenance, those kind, you know, the more modern comedy.
I was gonna say that like your show has a total feel of like all those shows, and also like a slight like hint of like It's Always Sunny. I would say bit of like, you know, there are these weird characters who you're not really sure like how you feel about them, but you're really attracted to like you. There's like something that you're coming back to, and you keep checking in on them. You know, it's like, oh, I don't know how I feel. Like I guess I'm invested in this person. Let's do it. Hey guys, we're going to be right back to the podcast with this really cool interview with Matt Barkin. But first, we wanted to let you know that if you really like what you're hearing right now, go to any one of our podcasts, Bread Butter Podcast, Love Life and Insight, Chelsea Ibin Podcast. They're all great podcasts that are going to make you feel so good. And all you have to do is just go to Spotify, subscribe to them. Working things out with iTunes right now. Hopefully going to get that all cleared up very soon. Or just go ahead and go to happyappleproductions.com and listen to all of our episodes there. Find all of our content. We're all working really hard. There's a lot of cool content going up there. But make sure you check all of our podcasts out. Love, Light, and Insight. Bread and Butter Podcast with Frederick Beverly. And the Chelsea Ibin Podcast. I've been trying. Now back to the pod.
Inspirations.
The inspirations right now. What's going on?
The first work I did in film was in, did you ever hear of IRC? It's like a chat room thing.
What did IRC stand for? It doesn't stand for International Rescue Committee, right?
No, it was like internet something chat. It was like a open source, very accessible and manipulable, like you could customize it chat room that was maybe, God, 16, 17 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was one of the very early chat rooms. Okay. And this was pre-Napster, pre-LimeWire. It was pre all the programs where you could download stuff. But somehow you could chat with someone and then access their computer. So they could give you access to directories on their computer through
okay.
the chat.
Okay.
Which had, I don't think this had existed before then. So what I'm getting to is that people, this community of these like hackerish pirate type people were on this chat room, and they would share things like photos they liked, movies they liked, music. And this was all very new. Like there was.
Was this like around the same time as like Napster?
Before
like
that.
Pre-Napster.
Before that. Napster and all these programs kind of copied what they were
doing. Wow. Okay.
But it was decentralized, I think. It was it was decentralized. It was more similar to torrenting.
Yes.
Where you're actually getting the files from the people. You're not getting it from a platform. Mm. So the platform, like if you take it down, it doesn't, you can't stop it that way. So anyway, on IRC, there was this community of people who had amassed pirated files, and they were the cool ones, you know, and you could ask them for certain files. They would allow certain people. Some of them were public, but you might have to ask them to get files from them, and they would have these lists. And it was there that I discovered that there were these music videos that were and re-edits and remixes of popular TV shows, of anime, of action movies. And it was kind of the first, not YouTube, but similar. Like there were these random videos. This was before YouTube and everything. And I saw a few of them that were like Dragon Ball Z re-edits to DMX type things. Like,
okay.
Do you remember this?
Yes,
kind of stuff?
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
Later, they became popular on YouTube, but they existed before that on the internet through, and they were shared through these chat rooms. So when I found those, I was obsessed because I was listening to like, you know, NWA and DMX and stuff like that then. And, these re-edits to action movies were just, it was such gold to me. So I pirated Adobe Premiere through the same people that they, that's what they were using. Pirated, these action movies and anime and started learning and teaching myself how to do it and made a few of my own. And that was the first video production I did was that stuff.
And what was it?
One of them I remember was like a Brawly, who was a character on Dragon Ball Z, who was kind of like almost like the Hulk, but like an evil Hulk. And I did a video re-edited of him to, I think it was a DMX song or something like that.
That's fucking tight.
Yeah. So, you know,
that's so
like,
cool.
Y'all go make me lose my mind. And he's like beating the shit out of people. It's funny. And like,
yeah,
silly.
Exactly. That's and that was like the plot. That was like, I remember like seeing that and being like, who the fuck is making this? And like, what are they thinking? And then being also feeling like so envious. But like, I don't think I could come up with this.
So cool, right?
Yeah, so cool.
It was so cool. So.
It was so great. I'm so happy you brought up DMX. Because I've been wanting to ask this question on the podcast for a long time, and I mean it's only just it's God's plan that I mean it's being brought up now. But in your opinion, I'm assuming you're a hip hop fan. Who do you think is one of the most underrated '90s rappers? Because in the '90s, it was a lot of East Coast, West Coast. You know, it was like Bad Boy, Death Row. So a lot of that was like, you know, kind of being filled. But, like, who do you think really flew under, like, did not get, like, the credit he deserved? And I'll give you mine. Like, anytime I hear DMX, I'm just fucking fired up. Like, ain't Rough Riders Anthem, like, Grand Champ, you know, Who We Be's a little bit later, so it's not 90s. But, like, I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, and then there was X. That fucking album blew my mind. And I'm like, how is he not get more like more credit? How's he not referenced more? Like, where, like, what was going on in that time? But I would, I mean, for me, I would say, Dark Man X.
Okay, nice. Maybe Big L, or I'm trying to think of what I, because I don't listen to a lot of 90s anymore, but I love it. Whenever I hear it come on, if I'm at a party or a club or whatever, I'm
you
back
feel
there.
It. Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of the more of the modern hip hop. That's like Mumble or like all that stuff. I mean, I like Kendrick Lamar and I like some of it, but the skill and the melody of the 90s hip hop, I like more. I like that pacing more. But yeah, I don't listen to it as much anymore. I mean, I mean, you know, like I liked all the classic, like Dr. Dre and Snoop and N.W.A. and maybe, yeah.
Did
I'd
you
have
see,
to think more about that.
Yeah, did you see Straight Outta Compton?
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
I thought it was
good.
Great.
Yeah.
Did you see Bohemian Rhapsody?
No, I've not seen it.
Okay, are you a fan of Queen?
Yeah.
I've heard, I don't know how I'm going to, like, I'm mixed about it, because people say, there's the Queen fans who are like, no, that was not good. You know, he thought he could play Fred, no way. Mm. And then people are like, who are just like, no, like, that was really good. And it's winning all these awards, so I don't know what to think.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. I mean, why not see it? What's the hurt?
Yeah. And it's so hard to find like 2 hours though these days, and that's why I love. Don't call Risco here. Full circle coming back.
Yeah, no, it's funny you say that. I find the same thing. I think our attention spans are so screwed. The idea of committing to 2 hours, it's like it hurts. You know, you're like, I don't know. You get this anxiety, yeah. Like you put the movie on, and then you're like, no. I'm going to read this article, listen to this podcast, and make food at the same time. Then I'll be, you know, satiated. But a movie, that's too much commitment. I can't calm down that much.
It's exactly what it is, man. Well, I don't even know. For me, it's food too. Like I get anxious just ordering food. I'm like, okay, I'll take the Eggs Benedict. Yes, I'm sure. Take the menu. It's like, fuck.
Yeah. No, wait. Hold the Eggs Benedict.
I think I need... Just go. You make the call. Just surprise me.
Yeah, that's... I don't know. I don't know if that's a recent phenomenon, but it seems like it is, how indecisive people are now and non-committal, especially in the Bay Area. You know, it's hard to even find someone who's single our age who's not into, like, polyamory or non-monogamy or at least some kind of weird... At least out here. I don't know if it's like that in the East Bay, but... It seems like everyone I meet's got some weird.
I haven't met too many, not met too many polyamorous individuals, but I mean, it definitely is like it's just different. Like what I've noticed, because I grew up in Castro Valley in the East Bay, and then moved to New Mexico and lived there for 7 years, and then moved back to the Bay Area, and I just never realized like how much of a bubble just like really the entire Bay Area is. But more like San Francisco, you know, you don't hear about Bitcoin, you know, other places.
New Mexico.
Albuquerque, New Mexico. They tell you, go fuck yourself if you try to buy some coffee buy green chili.
Yeah.
With Bitcoin.
Green
like, you
chili.
Fuck,
yeah.
Like, you get out.
Only red chili.
Yeah, it's not how it works. But I mean, it's a different world. And I mean, I think that you, in this show, are doing a really good job kind of really capturing kind of like that essence of like this weird, like, you know, San Francisco doesn't really know. I don't really think it knows what it is. I think there's a lot happening. A lot's changing.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you're giving it really an identity. I think San Francisco is always, I love San Francisco. Like I was born in San Francisco. My dad was raised, like there's a huge part of my heart that's out here. But I do think that, like there's a lot of it that's getting, like there's so much culture that's getting lost. And, I feel like for some reason there've always been like competition with like New York, you know, and now we're starting to put up like Salesforce top and we're really starting to get into like the architecture and we're maybe thinking like we want, like kind of, it feels like we want to go that route, but we're also taking advantage of like this tech boom that's going on right here. But like that's, so back to your show, I mean, you're just hitting on everything, which is great and so funny. And so how much of your experiences and these situations that you're putting the main character in come back to like your own experiences and maybe even like your own frustrations with the city?
Fuck. can I say that?
Yeah, absolutely. Fuck yeah, you can say fuck.
I don't know. There's so much packed into that. I've been struggling lately. Well, fuck. I don't even know where to start. Well, okay, so making the show, I wanted to make light of the Bay Area, you know, mostly San Francisco is where I live, because I saw so much hypocrisy mm-hmm. and just absurdity that was amplified by different communities vying for the spotlight, I guess. Mm-hmm. Not even just the spotlight, just in my life, I witnessed these different...
When you say communities, you mean like groups of like artists, like this?
Like
civilian, like...
Well, okay, so when I came here, you know, there's the nonprofit scene here. Uh-huh. There was this yoga, spiritual wellness kind mm-hmm. of scene.
Gotcha.
There's the tech scene, the art scene. And I wanted... No one was safe. I saw like so much hypocrisy mm-hmm. and ridiculousness mm-hmm. in all yeah. of these, you know, in the people that moved here, especially... I mean, I'm part of that, but I don't really consider myself like a gentrifier in that sense. But mm-hmm. with the gentrifiers moving in and not really knowing where they were living and not really mm-hmm. knowing how to engage with the community and so on. So those people too. And so I wanted to poke fun at all of them. Things changed so fast here. Mm-hmm. When I got here, I was working, like I said, when the Naked March came by, I was working on the mission. And I swear to God, the mission back then, that was only 10 years ago, maybe mm-hmm. 11 years ago. The mission during a weekday, like a weekday afternoon when I would be working, mm-hmm. it was people of color. It was moms with strollers going mm-hmm. shopping. It was like, it was not white people walking around buying like expensive jackets mm-hmm. or whatever they do. Mm-hmm. You know, that was not, I didn't see any of that on Valencia. And it's changed so fast. I'm not saying it's changed for the worse. I mean, it's like a natural thing that happens when a city gets more money, more people move mm-hmm. there, and like this happens, right? But it's changed so fast. And I haven't really, like, the show kind of stands up and holds up, but things have changed so quickly. For instance, when I wrote the show, weed was illegal. Mm-hmm. There was like barely, like, it wasn't. It was still federally illegal to have medical cards. It wasn't that easy to get a medical card.
Yeah.
Then I finished writing the first season, and by then the medical thing had exploded, and anyone could get a medical card. Mm. You could just pull up your phone. There's probably an app and just be like, hey, my shoulder hurts. Like, give me a medical card. And it was like, ching, you just like Venmo.
Congratulations.
Them the card. Yeah. And you were done. It just got crazy. And then it didn't become weird. This whole character I'd written, who I thought was super weird and interesting, that mm-hmm. sold weed, was now no longer strange at all. It was like so common. So things have changed really fast. And I see why people who've lived here her whole life can just be like, well, aside from being pushed out, but even if they're not pushed out, even if they still live here, how it's kind of horrifying how quickly things change. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to adapt to change, right? But it's hard, especially when it's your town that's changing. Mm-hmm. So...
And like the thing, when it's your town, it's like, it's not taking care of you.
Yeah.
You know, when things are getting more and more expensive, your town's only making it more and more tough for like you to be here and to like, rent and like, you know, build your, like hold your roots.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's like, that's one, like, I was thinking that was one of the toughest things for my dad, I think, was like being like, I just can't live in San Francisco. Like,
yeah, it's painful. Across the pound. And it's not even a San Francisco thing anymore. It's a city, like it's an America thing. Like this is happening Boom. In all the major
there
cities.
There we go. Happy President's Day.
Yeah. Fucking Boom. it's happening in Oakland now. Mm-hmm. Like Oakland.
Oh yeah.
Reminds me more, the San Francisco I visited like 15 years ago reminds me more of Oakland than it does San Francisco anymore. Mm. But I guarantee in 10 years Oakland's gonna feel like it does here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, there's more places to live there. It's not like landlocked like we are here, but it's happening there for sure. The gentrification's going crazy over there. And
have you seen Blindspotting?
Yeah, loved it.
Fan fucking tastic.
Loved it.
That last fucking scene.
Yeah.
Goosebumps
with the cop or
with the cop. Yeah.
Blindspotting. Sorry to bother you. I'm really excited mm-hmm. to see what's coming out of Oakland.
East Bay movie scene. I think Boots Riley's like kind of. I don't know if he's like catalysting it, but it kind of seems like a lot of things are kind of going through him right now. How close are you involved with, you know, Bay Area production? In this community, what is the community like?
I'm like pretty heavily involved with the advertising, commercial, and video production non-union scene here. Mm-hmm. I'm not as involved in the union movie and separately music video scene.
Gotcha. Here. Yeah. Two different.
It's like three different scenes. It's like music video is its own thing. I wish I was more involved in it. I'm just not. And then the kind of the union productions or the high level productions, movies that come through here out of LA. It's happening more and more, but it was very rare when I moved here. They had that show. Is it Looking? There's like 13 Reasons Why is here now, but there's very little production going on here relative to LA or New York.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not involved in that scene as a director. I'm not directing that stuff. Mm. The directors they're bringing from elsewhere. Mm. Boots Riley and Raphael and I forget the other guy's name on Blindspotting. David. They're all directors that are local that are working on projects here. I think that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I unfortunately am not, you know, getting hired by you know, big studios. Yeah, to do that kind of stuff. So I'm not involved in that scene. Kind of wish I was, obviously. The day-to-day production, mostly fueled by tech and business, I'm involved with that scene. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty sizable scene on its own, but it's a small world. Like, I live with a gaffer, a lighting person. Mm-hmm. You know, some of my best friends are DPs, directors of photography. Like, I'm in that scene. Mm-hmm. I work, you know, almost full-time freelancing in that scene. And it's good. It's supportive. It's a good family. Like, where we share a lot. Like, we share work.
That's cool.
It doesn't feel as competitive as it had has elsewhere. Our rates are higher than they are in LA. Or New York's a bit similar, but LA rates are a lot lower. I think people, you know, there's more people vying for the same jobs down there. I feel really lucky to be here and surviving in that scene.
That's very cool. And it's like community, man. Like, just helping people. Yeah. I mean, that's cool. Like, when you say that, it's like, there's some people who I could, like, you know, maybe think of that just, like, wouldn't be down, like, share, like, you know, it's like, no, you can find your, like, you know, I don't get that. One of the phrases that Happy Apple Productions has taken on, because Happy Apple Podcast transitioned into Happy Apple Productions recently. Don't know if you knew that, but we've adopted this phrase that's Ubuntu, which means like I am who I am because of who we are, which is supporting the importance of community and supporting the importance of uplifting.
Ubuntu? Like the
Ubuntu.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah, there's the operating system. Okay, I've heard of that. All boats rise with the tide, right?
Exactly, man. I mean that's what this is, you know, that's what this is. Like, yeah, I got a podcast. I'm trying to do some shit. Like, are you trying to do some shit? Yeah,
apples,
we're trying to
man.
Do some shit. Happy apples, dude. Beautiful things. Okay. So let's touch on DCF season 2, which is out right now on YouTube. Anyone who's listening to this, they can go to YouTube right now, just search Don't Call It Frisco, season 2. It'll pop up there. I mean, this, you definitely can tell, like, you know, you guys are taking it up a notch. Like, there's kind of a lot of moving pieces, but I really enjoyed the Simon Squared episode. That was a really funny one for me, because there were a couple elements in there. You know, there's the roommate trying to tell you how to figure out your date in life, and then you have the no idea who's going to come through the Airbnb door, and then, you know, you have the crazy-ass Frisco situation go down. Were those all three different things that you put together, or was that actually like just what happened in true life one time?
So a lot of the show is real. Like, it really happened to me. And this is one of the episodes that the very dramatic scenes were not, like, I added them, but the gist and the structure was real. I moved here and was with a girlfriend for a while that did end similarly to how it ended in episode 3 with the breakup.
Uh-huh,
yeah,
okay.
And the therapist situation.
Uh-huh. Yeah, gotcha.
Anyway, I don't want to go there.
No.
But the point is, she moved out and I had this one bedroom that I couldn't afford. So I tried Airbnb just like he does to try and afford the place. And one of the first people I got, this was early days of Airbnb, earlier, one of the first people I got was a father and son duo from, they were European, they weren't Chinese, who expected like a hotel-like experience. I think he even worked in hotels. And so he showed up and was like, couldn't believe that it was a house he was staying in. And that bled into all of our interactions. It was, you know, why is this thing dirty? As if I need to clean all of his dishes or something. Because I was still there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why is this like that?
He thought you were a servant.
He just expected this level of... he expected like a hotel. You know, he did not expect it to be someone's home. They have that now. I mean, there's a lot of Airbnbs that are like not actual homes, you know?
Yeah, which is unfortunate. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, but so the shower head really happened. Like, he did walk out and say, "What's wrong with the shower head?" And his son had just like ripped it out of the wall or something. He did have the issue, which didn't play out so well in the show, but what was really hilarious in the script, of like, there was like a wrinkle in the bed cover and like a hair on it that was probably his son's, and he like brought it out and was like, "What's wrong here? Like, this is dirty." I'm like, "Well, your son was on the bed." So, you know, it was, and then the whole weird father-son dynamic was real. The sex or the like sexual situation was not real.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't bring
just so our audience is clear, like, you're not, the characters aren't, there's no, the father son, no sexual stuff. No sexual, there's a different sexual incident that happens.
Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah. The son witnesses a sexual situation with our main character and a woman. That didn't happen.
Yes.
That was
in real life. Yeah. But that was a great fucking scene.
Thanks.
Oh, I love that one. There was another scene I wanted to ask you about that actually got me really fucking pumped up. And I think it's going to be a perfect lead into season three. And it's in the last episode where the main character, he runs into his buddy, little tech, like, whatever. And, like, the main character just spits out, like, to the boss. He goes in there and he's just like, "Hey, like, I'm going to fucking sell you on some shit. Like, I need to survive. Here's how it's going to happen." And then he just lays out this, you know, like, 3 to 4 minute beautifully, like, articulated, like, speech. And then the next thing is just him coming out with a fist pump. And then, you know, and then that, and then whatever happens after that happens. But, like, have you ever had a moment like that? Either, like, you got a job, or, you know, it was just like a fucking fist pumping moment.
Yes. So that scene was based on not when I walked in and just slayed the sales pitch to get a job, but I worked for Greenpeace and I would do pitches like that. Mm-hmm. I was okay, but I saw there were reasons I won't get into where I didn't care as much about making those sales as I could have. But there was a day when I was working in San Diego before I moved here where our boss said, whoever in, like, I think it was the state of California, it might have been just San Diego, but it might have been the state of California, whoever gets the most signups today gets, it was like tickets to Rolling Stones or something.
Oh.
And you better believe I laid it down. And I it was like the situation with him. I mean, I wrote that pitch, but I remember I was at a grocery store that day and I got like an unprecedented amount of signups. They accused me of cheating. They said, "There's no way you got this many signups."
Matt Barton, no.
No.
You dare not question the Barton name.
I mean, I could have. I wasn't that insulted by it because, I mean, I had cheated on some things before that other people did too, but I did not cheat on this at all. And I just really, really cared. And so when I wrote this pitch in episode 7, it took me a while because at first I thought, "Oh, it's just going to come naturally." But it didn't. I wrote the pitch and it was like, I like recited it back to a friend and it was just so weak. And it wasn't until like I needed the script to be done. I'd already been showing it to so many friends, trying to hopefully get the inspiration I needed to really add, you know, really just bring more weight and make that a better pitch. And it was like the midnight hour type of thing where like, we have to have this script done. We're shooting, you know, in a few days, that I sat down and that like fear, like, jump started.
Hey guys,
the
this is Joe
back from Greenpeace.
Happy Apple Joe, and I wrote to be specific.
That pitch.
I bet you thought you were going to be able to make it through a great episode of the Happy Apple Podcast or Happy Apple Joe Show, whichever one you're listening to, without me shoving my favorite drink down your throat. I'm going to talk about kombucha because I just want everyone to know that you need to check out Boochman Kombucha. Okay, even if you're not in the Bay Area, go check them out on Facebook. Check them out on the website. See what they're up to. They're a really cool organization. They're actually like really good friends of the Happy Apple family. We see them every Sunday at the Temescal Farmers Market, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. if you're in the Bay Area. But again, if you're not in the Bay Area and you're really interested in a cool kombucha company, I swear, get into Booch, people. Booch is so underrated. It's like DMX in the 90s, okay? super underrated. Make sure you guys get your boot. Probiotics. Stay healthy. Now back to the pod.
I will say you can also see Don't Call It Frisco on Roku, okay. The streaming service. If you go to ZPTV on Roku, it's a channel for like independent film and web series. Don't Call It Frisco is on there. I recommend watching it in that way. Or if you do watch it on YouTube, not doing it on your phone or for a second while you're at work, it's more of a sit down on the couch and watch for 30 minutes type experience. That's the way it was written.
Really? So people who are watching it, like they should sit down and watch like all 7 episodes like in a row?
At least watch 4 in a row. Mm-hmm. It was kind of written in 4 episode blocks.
Oh,
so the
okay.
first season is 4 episodes, the second season is 4 episodes. If you watch them in that block, everything will make a lot more sense because there are callbacks to other episodes and there's things that connect. If you watch one episode at a time, you might be confused.
That's so helpful to know. Actually, that's great to know. Is there anything else? Conceptually,
watch it on a big screen. Watch big 4 screen. Episodes at a time.
Is it single Have camera? Did you, what kind of operation? Do you have
a single camera?
Single camera.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, we weren't in a studio. We didn't have like a multicam overhead lighting type of setup.
Are there? Let's see.
You wanted to play a game, right?
I know. I just didn't know the. I don't know the game.
I have a game.
Do you have
it's
a game?
Pretty easy. It's called Got It. Have you heard of this game?
I don't know.
Usually
I don't think
play
so.
With more than 2 people, but 2 people will work.
Okay.
So the goal of the game is for 2 people out of the group or just the 2 people playing to say the same thing. So how it's played is you can play in a group. Whenever you basically start by saying 2 random things. So
okay.
I could say, and the format is I would say, got it. And then when you have something, you say, got it. And then when we both have something, I or you count down from 3. So I'd say, got it.
Got it.
3, 2, 1. And then we say something random. Let's try it.
Okay.
So got it.
Got it.
3, 2, 1. Apples.
Horses.
Apple horses. So now we have apple horses. And now the game starts. From apple horses, we both have to think of something that comes from apple horses. And we're trying to think of the same thing. So I wouldn't say like some inside joke that only I would get from my childhood, because you don't know that, right?
Okay.
So if it's apple horses, I might say eating or food or I don't know, like horses like apples. So that's where my mind would go. And then it's another round. Once I think of.
And then we go back to the one word.
Yeah, we say it's one. So
we keep going back to the one. Okay, got it.
Yeah, and you can't say the same words again. So from apple horses, you know, if I think of something, I'd say got it. Then when you say got it, we do the same thing again. We count down from 3.
Okay.
So just so we fully get it. Let's try it with apple horses.
Okay.
Got it.
Got it.
3, 2, 1.
Munching.
Yummy. Yummy munching. See, that's close. So we're
okay,
good.
Okay,
we're yeah. good. So now we're playing. But let's start from the beginning.
Okay,
let's
perfect. Start. Perfect. All right.
And that's the whole game.
Okay, perfect. Here we go.
Okay.
Got it.
Got it. 3, 2, 1.
Skywalker.
Podcast. Got it. Remember, you're trying to think of something obvious that we would, so we get the same word.
Got it. Okay. Oh, shit. Okay, got
Three,
it.
3, 2, 1. Star
idiot
Wars.
Idiot cast. Damn it.
What did you say?
Idiot podcast. Chris Hardwick's idiot.
Okay.
Fuck. Because I don't know, it's the podcast.
Star Wars idiot podcast.
Mm.
Got it. It's all right. You don't
got
put
it.
A lot of pressure on yourself.
Okay.
It's just like, it's like, go fast.
Got it.
3, 2, 1. Nerdist.
Lightsaber.
What did you say?
Lightsaber.
Nerdist
lightsaber.
Lightsaber. Got it?
Got it.
3, 2, 1.
Hamill.
Comic-Con.
Okay.
What did you say? Hamill?
Hamill. For Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Hamill Comic-Con.
Got it.
3, 2, 1.
Appearance. Meet and greet.
So
similar. Okay.
Meet and greet appearance.
got it.
Got it. 3, 2, 1.
Cameos.
Conference. Conference okay. cameos. Conference cameos. Got it?
Oh, no.
When they get really similar, it gets really difficult, actually.
I know.
Conference cameos.
Conference cameos. Got it.
3, 2, 1.
P. Diddy. What?
Keynote? Like the keynote speaker? What did you say?
P. Diddy.
P. Diddy keynote?
The keynote speaker's P. Diddy.
Oh,
okay.
Would I watch that? Would I watch a P. Diddy
keynote? I don't know.
Keynote?
You know, Do people forget he was involved in a homicide? And so was J-Lo.
Really?
In the 90s, right? Like, didn't something happen where, like, there's a drive-by shooting? I think someone was killed and murdered, and they found, like, the gun in the back of, like, their car. And, like,
oh, my God.
I remember that being a big thing.
That's how you get street cred as a rapper, though, right? You have to be involved in some kind of murder or something. Oh,
it's so sad.
P. Diddy Keynote.
Okay, P. Diddy Keynote.
I mean, got it. I want to cheat so bad right now and give you a hint, but I'm not.
Oh, dude.
Think of the words.
Keynote.
What's the first word that comes to your mind when you think of P. Diddy?
Puff.
That's what I was going to say. Puff Daddy. Well, it's too late now.
Damn it. Okay.
Yeah. It's the first word that comes to your mind.
Okay. So let's just go. Okay. Keynote. Puff Daddy.
I was going to say Puff Daddy.
Okay. Here. Got it.
Got it. 3, 2, 1. Puff
Kellogg's.
Oh, you wanted to do a new round.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? I think we'll get okay. Next time. Next time we see each other, we're going to have to do it.
Yeah. I'll walk up and I'll just
exactly.
Like,
I like that game, though.
It's a fun game. You don't need cards.
Exactly.
You can play with any amount of people.
And it's such a great get-to-know-you game because it's really just like, how does your mind work?
And you have to really pay attention.
I know.
Which is a good part about it. I like that.
I was really worried I wasn't going to be attentive. I thought, I'm going to fuck this
great.
Up.
I mean,
awesome.
Your first time.
Perfect. Perfect. Happy to do it. So again, Matt Barkin, thank you so much for being a part of the Happy Apple Productions family. Thank you so much for being on, you know, just agreeing to be here, man.
Bark, bark.
Bark, bark. But one of the things that it's mandatory for you to do if you come on any Happy Apple production show, you have to give out a Happy Apple Award. A Happy Apple Award is a person, place, or thing, event, story, organization that is bringing you happiness, is bringing you joy, something that makes you feel good, and you want to go ahead and just give them some love.
All right. This is a shout out to Trish Daddy. You know who you are. And, yeah, she's been putting a smile on my face lately. So, out to T-Daddy.
Woo! Oh! Anything? Nope. Don't even need to say anything more.
Boom.
Boom. Oh, God. Now I'm rethinking my Happy Apple. fantastic, Matt. That's a lovely Happy Apple Award, Matthew. I'm happy to hear it. Good for you, sir. And good for Trish Daddy. Trish Daddy. Shout out to Trish Daddy. My Happy Apple Award is going to go to something that came up a little bit in the podcast today. And I was just reminded about how much I love it, how much it is influencing just pop culture, just everyday culture. I'm not only here in the Bay Area, but everywhere you go. A lot actually in Japan. I mean, people love Star Wars in Japan, but oh dear, I spoiled my Happy Apple Award already. My Happy Apple Award is going to go to the Star Wars franchise. I watched a couple of their movies. I'd go on these benders where I just rewatch, you know, the sagas. So I rewatched the first trilogy. This past week. It was like background noise, but I'm just like, God damn, like these movies are so fucking good. I don't really love the Anakin Skywalker trilogy, mm-hmm. but I mean, you just kind of have to accept it. You have to like, oh, this is a part of what they wanted
like
to do.
It's like a cousin you don't like, but you gotta, you know, smile and nod when he's around.
I guess so, yeah. I really enjoy all my cousins. I don't want them to think that I don't like them or care about them, so I don't want them.
You're like,
but I know what you're saying.
Skywalker trilogy.
Exactly.
You're a new hope.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But Matt, thank you so much once again. And Q, also, just let our audience members know, or let our audience know where to find DCF if they don't want to look it up on YouTube.
Yeah, you can see it on Roku at ZPTV, which is a station, or you can go to our website, don'tcallitfrisco.tv.
Boom. There it is. Matt, thank you so much for being here, man.